Welcome to the HR on the Offensive podcast, a weekly podcast by Lace Partners, a fundamentally different HR and payroll consultancy. Each week, we tackle some of the most interesting topics facing senior HR professionals. So whether that's from employee value proposition, performance management, people strategy, or even payroll, we cover it all. So join us for the next 30 minutes. And if you like what you hear, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now, on with the show. Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to the latest HR on the Offensive podcast. It's me, Chris Howard from Lace Partners. If you are listening to this, you are a very special person. And the reason why you're a very special person is because this is a not for general consumption podcast. We have decided to create a special offshoot for a select group of people. We have a Chief People Officer Network. We call it the CPO Network here at Lace Partners. And this first edition, we're going to talk a little bit around that CPO Network. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on the history of our CPO Network. We're going to talk about exciting things for the future and some of the different benefits as well. In order to do that, I need a trio of experts who are all heavily involved with the network. I'm going to introduce, first of all, the person in person with me.
I'm good. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, so Cathy Akratopoulo, CEO of Lace Partners. Lovely to be here, Chris.
It's great to have you on. Debbie Mitchell, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Debbie Mitchell, leading the CPO network for Lace Partners. Lovely to have you all here.
Aaron Albury, you all right?
I'm all right, Chris. Hi, everyone. Aaron, founder of Lace Partners with Cathy.
Right. This is a special edition series that I think we might produce. This is the first pilot, if you like. I'm going to kick off with Cathy. Can you talk us a little bit about the background? Let's talk about why we've decided to do this podcast, but also why did we even set up a CPO network in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. We're doing this podcast specifically to outline what's to come in 2025. This is our second year of running the CPO network. We've achieved a lot in year one. And thank you for all our active members over that period for contributing. And this is year two. We're just at the start of that process. So we really wanted to use this mechanism of a way of explaining what this year has to offer for those in our CPO network and those thinking about joining. Why did we set the CPO network up? It was the beginning of last year, and we were coming up for our 10th year as a business. We obviously work with CPOs, HR leaders around their transformation agenda. And what we felt as a business was that actually there's so many common challenges and common questions that our CPOs are facing. And also the CPOs we talk to often say it can feel pretty lonely out there as a CPO fighting that people agenda battle with their business leaders. From our point of view, there's such a series of commonalities and similar challenges that we wanted to be able to bring together CPOs and have a safe space where they could talk about what's on their mind with other HR leaders who may be facing the same challenges or trying to achieve the same level of change this year. So we felt it was our way of giving back to that community, but also giving them an environment and a relatively exclusive group so they could get together in manageable size groups to talk this stuff through. And really, that's the primary purpose, as well as helping to shape what we focus on as a business, giving insights to us and helping us to tailor our messaging out to our CPOs so that we are as on point as we can be with what's front of mind for them. And together, the aim here is really to shape the future of the HR function itself, right? The people function. How can we work together to do that? So that was really the premise. And as I say, we're a year in, and this is year two.
It's going quite well, isn't it, Debbie? What I quite like about this is the response that we've had from not just people that we're friends with and that we like and that are clients of ours, but it's actually those that are even not working with Lace, because I think we realise that this peer community is really, really important. So, Debbie, can you talk a little bit around the composition of the group, the growth of the group, and how the network has expanded this year?
Sure. I mean, we started with a fairly small group last year. We were aiming for a membership of about 30, which we got to fairly quickly. We've increased that through the end of 24, early 25. So we're now about 46 members. A number of those joined back end of last year, early this year. So hi to all those new members and welcome on board. We're keen to keep it as an exclusive group. The membership criteria for our network are quite stringent in that we want to make sure we're bringing together people of a similar level dealing with similar challenges. We look for CPOs who are the CPO in their organization or maybe of a very large geographical region, for example. In large companies that are often multinational organizations, on our list of member organizations, we've got a lot of brand names that you'd recognize. We also consider members who are in perhaps slightly quirky, unusual industries or facing intriguing challenges. So things that will really add to the conversation when we get those CPOs around the table. It might make us realize that no matter where you are or who you are or what you're doing, you're still facing some of those same challenges. We're quite diverse. We've got a number of financial institutions and insurance businesses. We've got retail, hospitality, logistics, transport. But then we've also added in a little bit of quirk. We've got some public sector, so that's slightly different. We've got some charity. We've got some elite sport. So we're kind of bringing those into the mix really just to add flavour to the conversation. But we can also segment it in different ways. We'll look to do that a bit more this year where we can see we've got a number of organisations where the CPO is leading unconnected workers. That's a challenge in itself. Or we've got professional services. Or we've got those who have to be all kind of office-based or workplace-based versus some that have a very open approach to virtual or hybrid working. We're looking at those kind of different sectors. And what we're trying to make sure is in the membership group that we've got, we're bringing all of those different characteristics. We'll connect people who have some of the same challenges, but we're also looking to see what are some of the differences and what can we learn from each other through those differences. So in 25, we'll look to optimize that diversity, connect some of those commonalities, and just check out what other organizations should we be looking to get representation from. And we'll selectively build up the membership number as we go. We're always interested to hear from our members about CPOs that they would like to nominate to be in the network. We've had one or two come in through that route already. So if you know somebody who might fit our criteria, we'd love to have a conversation with them about joining the network. Membership-wise, we feel thrilled that all of you who are listening are with us, and we're looking to add some additional flavour to that as we go through 25 as well.
And I just want to touch on that a little bit before we talk about Aaron. We'll talk about how, in your opinion, year one went, but maybe just Cathy and then Aaron, just let's talk a little bit around the importance of that diversity, I think, because I think as a CPO, it's all very well one thing, kind of looking at, okay, well, what are peers who work within the industry, what are other businesses within my industry doing? But sometimes you can get that creativity and bounce ideas off of those working in different sectors. So can I just get maybe a minute or two, Cathy, on the importance of being able to bounce off of other CPOs that perhaps aren't in industries you would have thought, oh, it'd be good to chat to these type of people?
Oh, exactly. And I think as HR leaders, CPOs, we're a networking bunch, right? We like to go to events and spend time with each other and talk stuff through for exactly that reason, I think, Chris, because whilst you may be in completely different industries, by learning what others are doing in a same sort of function within another industry can bring new ideas. And I think there's other things, like Debbie says, you may be in a completely different industry, but you may well have similar workforce challenges or types of workforce segments. Drawing parallels can be really helpful to bring new thinking, understand what good looks like, share what has worked and what hasn't worked, and sort of try and avoid some of those pitfalls, I guess, through conversations with others. And I think that in itself brings confidence and a new way of thinking about things, which is incredibly helpful. I think what we wanted to do with the network as well is inject our own thinking. And as a consulting firm that's been going for 10 years, you know, we are specialists to the function, not to an industry, purposefully for exactly that reason, to bring innovation and parallels across different workforces. So we also try and inject a little bit of provocation, I guess, around our thinking and work with this group to come up with new ideas, new ways of solving challenges.
Yeah, Aaron, I want to bring you into this, actually. So I want you to reflect on year one, but perhaps also maybe touch on Debbie's point there that Cathy has just built on around this importance of people being able to connect to each other, perhaps from areas that they might not have traditionally connected with. Give us your perspective on the conversations you've had and that first year and how it's gone.
I'll echo a lot of what Debbie and Cathy have said, I'm sure. But I think this reflecting on the first year and thinking about our members and how they've grown over time, it's a lot happened in this year, right? We've had an election, government change, we've had a budget change, we've had changes in the US, we've had all sorts of things that actually have quite expansive impacts 4 CPOs in this network. What we've seen in this first year has been diverse conversations around this space, whether it's the New Deal from Labour as they were coming in, whether it's some of the pre-election papers, et cetera, that we were developing, right? There's lots of things that have happened. And I guess one of the things I was reflecting is when you start a network like this, especially one that we're investing in for the benefit of our members, you're never quite sure what's going to work. And so we've tried a number of different things. I think one of the conclusions, and Cathy and Debbie have some views on this, is there is no silver bullet to how to make a network like this work. There's lots of different ways to connect to people. They're doing lots of different interesting, challenging things, as Debbie described. We've run everything from WhatsApp chat groups for the team to connect and work with each other, to dial-ins and connections, breakfast meetings, face-to-face meetings. And it's fair to say we're never quite sure how many people and the mix we're going to get. And that's one of the benefits of it. We get a great diversity of people attend these events, and it's really working well to bring them together. I was just reflecting on some of the things that we've done this year. We've run events this year on various topics, skills, HR operating models and OD, workforce transformation and business-led transformation discussions, some great sessions around that, around the table. And it was really interesting to see a diverse group of CPOs from everything from retail to high-end technology organizations discussing things they had in common around transforming businesses, dealing with M&A, dealing with boards, dealing with the private equity investment, and working off each other. We even span off a small group who were all part of Japanese-owned parent companies. There were enough of those in the network that they were able to compare notes on what it's like to be a CPO within a Japanese conglomerate. But it's for their benefit, right? They were able to actually go to Kathy's point when I start. I'm not alone as a CPO in this market. There are others who are actually having to deal with very similar issues, and they were able to talk with each other. I think one of the other things I reflected is, and I mentioned there that lots of stuff went on, we offer the chance to preview papers to our CPOs in the network. It's really interesting to get their perspectives and get those previews out to them in advance so they can see them, but also to contribute. So that pre-election paper, we had a number of the CPO members contribute into that. And then we also have been running the successor event, where we asked the CPOs in the network to put forward some people that they felt were successors for them going forward. We ran a whole invested day of development for those individuals, where they got the real chance to reflect on what's the next step in their career to get up to that level and what will it take. And it was just really great to see them come together and do that reflection. So I think lots of things have happened. I can't see the world economic stage getting any less complex or less challenging. So I'm expecting some really interesting discussions this year as well, Chris.
I want to get Debbie and Cathy to talk about some of those ways in which we will interact, have those discussions, have those debates. I'll start with you, Cathy, because I think one of the interesting things is a bit of a segue. One of the interesting conversations that we had earlier on in 2024, you were talking about how you were able to connect a challenge that one CPO had with another CPO. And we're going to do a little bit more of that moving forward, aren't we?
Exactly. And I think that's to Debbie's point earlier. We started relatively small with 30 members. And now we're at 46, I think, Debbie, in terms of our membership. Mm-hmm. And this year, by the middle of the year, we're aiming to be around 60 people. So we are growing, but it's still a very personal network. We know everyone in it through the events, sessions and connections. Hopefully our members will get to know each other too. To help that along, you know, where we understand that one individual has got a specific question or a specific challenge, through our knowledge of the other members, we can make a direct connection from one individual to another. For example, one member may have a question. Okay, I'm trying to really revamp how I assess employee engagement, employee sentiment. What are other members doing in that space? And we were able to make direct connections between CPOs who had transformed the way they were doing that and have a really good conversation that didn't need to involve us, but we just made that connection to enable that to happen. So we're looking to do more of that this year and trying to find maybe a way that we can use some tools to help us do that. But in the meantime, you've got us, right? Yeah. But we can make that personal connection through our knowledge of individuals. To me, the beauty of this network compared to large-scale international networks that other CPOs in this network may be part of, this is very personal, and our events are small, beautifully formed group sizes where you can chat to everyone in the room and have candid conversations. And I think that to me is a real differentiator.
Debbie, do you want to just talk through a little bit around some of the other elements about how we're connecting people? So Cathy's talked there about the almost ad hoc connection that we did, which again, we'll look to automate. We're looking to develop some online tools that can connect people, which you and I are going to be working on in 2025. Yeah. Can you talk about some of the other bits, though, that we've got lined up?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of our key lessons from 2024 was less is more, recognising there's a lot on the agenda for a CPO. So actually, for 2025, what we've done is we've tried to refine down into the real quality events and just put some focus on those. So I guess there's kind of a heartbeat of activity, which is a monthly virtual check-in. Join if you can. It's not a mandatory attendance. And, you know, even if you just join for 5 minutes, say hello and then go away again. And in that, we're, again, in response to feedback, what we're trying to do is to say, if we've got a topic or theme for that 45-minute conversation, we'll do that. So our first one for the year will be around what's on your agenda for this year. And again, to the point, can we connect people who are going to tackle the same big challenges in 2025? We see it as the treat, obviously, for them, not for us. We do it under great pain, but, you know, we'll go out 4 times a year for dinner or breakfast or something nice. We'll have a hot topic of conversation at that event that will really get people around the table to talk about and connect with each other over a nice bit of food and some wine, but only if it's dinner, not if it's breakfast. If it's breakfast,
it's a hardship, Debbie, isn't it? It's something we have to do.
Taking one for the team, definitely. We will also just continue to share our insights. We run what we call a success series, which is open to CPOs or a member of their HRLT to join us. So we spread that love a little bit in the success series. And we haven't scheduled those because we really want to respond to what's on your agenda. For CPOs to tell us a bit about, we'd love to hear more about the thinking around last year, for example. Mm-hmm. So we ran a success series on AI. So we'll respond to what we're hearing from the network and put those on as and when, but those are a broader audience. And we'll run a successor day again in 2025, building on the success we had last year. We may run 2, depending on demand, but we're also this year going to run a top talent takeover. So for CPO minus 2 or 3, people who are high potential coming through the organization, connecting with them and focusing a development day around what their needs are to prep them for perhaps HRLT roles or beyond that. We've still got quite a full agenda. Not all of it requires attendance from the CPO, but also we're hoping to make, as Kathy described, some of those more personal connections around topics of interest or common challenges that people are dealing with. So the big events are the key opportunity to get together. We'll see about how we can connect people in smaller groups to have those more personal conversations. And of course, blogs and pods, Chris, that's your space.
It is. And actually, I want to bring you in on this, Aaron, as well, because I wanted to get your thoughts. If you put yourself in the mindset of a CPO listening to this, the importance of raising your own profile, and particularly when it becomes to, Debbie's just talked about the successor series and thinking about your successor. Well, got to amplify your own kind of brand, don't you? And so that's where we can help and come on our podcast. If they've got an issue they want to talk about, they can contribute towards any of our content. We regularly get asked, HR press, business press and trade press, to give our thoughts. We could do with having a CPO that can ride alongside us with this. Can I get a minute or two from you on how important you think it is for CPOs listening to take this on board, not just as a networking tool, but also to raise their own profile?
Yeah, and I'd say the first thing I'd recognise is not all of our CPOs want to raise their profile. But for those that do, this is a great channel, right? We have, as you say, we're very well connected into the HR press and into the more of the broadsheets that are PR, and we're often asked for points of view on these topics. Often those are topics that our CPOs themselves are debating and discussing. So it's a great opportunity. We ran a success session the other day on supercharged managers, right? And there was some great discussions there. I know that at least one or two of those individuals who presented as CPOs to others, to their peers, we're now able in a position to take some of the things they've said and do podcasts, which they're keen to do. There's opportunities for people to expand, and they don't have to do it on your own. We typically would do it as part of, if it's a podcast with Chris in a very friendly environment, or if it's a press piece, we do it together and help take that to market. So there's lots of different things. I think we've got the workforce transformation campaign to work through, which is people-led business transformation. There's a way where we get focused as a CPO on transforming the business and making that happen. There's going to be opportunities for our CPO network members to get involved in that and put forward their experiences of transforming businesses, either the frustrations or some of the successes they've had as well. So we can share that.
Kathy, Cathy, I'll go to you first, and then Debbie, and then Aaron with the last word. Let's give Aaron the last word.
From my point of view, I'm really excited about the year ahead. I think the beauty of the network is that it does enable us to have quite deep conversations about meaningful topics that are relevant to our CPOs and hopefully generated by our CPOs in terms of what's most front of mind for them. I think I'm looking forward to having some really good debates and discussions. The beauty of 2025 is that we've learned from 24. We have flexibility on our channels and flexibility around attending in person. We are London-centric in terms of our physical locations, but we're trying to offer dial-in options for more remote sessions for those who can't make it. Looking forward to engaging as much as we can on some really chunky discussions as we go through 2025.
Debbie?
Yeah, and I think what's important to us is to hear from our members what's important to them. We want to shape the agenda based around what we're hearing in the market, what insights we're hearing about, what trends, what topics are out there in our members' businesses, what's topical. And we can then respond to both of those and make sure that we're getting a really good mix in our content and doing topics and conversations that are really relevant to our members. And that's really what drives us.
Lovely. Aaron, just the final word.
I can't argue with any of that. I think my reflection is a little personal on some of these things, which is the stories I hear from our members of new friendships they've formed through this network in talking with peers and reconnected friendships. One of our CPOs joined recently and instantly was said hello to by someone they used to work with who's also on the CPO network and hadn't been in touch for a while, and they've reconnected. So that part for me is equally important, I think, in part of this network.
Lovely. So if you've enjoyed listening into this, of course, my message would be reach out to us, use the WhatsApp group. We have a LinkedIn group. If you've got any challenges, we will start to create some automated tools so that you can interact digitally over the course of 2025. That's more to come. We're looking at a membership hub. If you've tried a version of the 10 Traits tool, which Debbie leads on, there will be an online version of that to come as well. Some exciting stuff. We'll keep you posted. From myself, Cathy, Debbie and Aaron, thank you very much for listening, and hopefully we'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.